to come to the pulpit this morning and preach us a message that God has laid on his heart. Looking forward to that. I'm sure you are as well. Please welcome him this morning.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Good to be in God's house today. Can you say a great big amen? Amen. I was thinking, as today is Memorial Day weekend, which is a tough message to preach, and then it's Pentecost Sunday, which is could be a tough message to preach. So that which was dead come alive on Pentecost. Hello? So I'm going to preach a dual message this morning. I don't have my banjo, but I'm going to preach a dual message. Memorial Day and Pentecost. So what I have today is God's laid on my heart. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm not going to tell you I've heard from God. I'll let you be the judge of that at the end of this message, okay? Okay. Amen, Brother Horton. You guys wake up, okay? Had good worship service this morning, and I have a word on my heart that I want to bring to you today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Chapter 3, verse number 10. And if you would, Brother Matthew, make sure that this is coming through that, because I've got my headset on, okay? Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 10 says, "And now also the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord, desperately needing the touch from the throne of God. Lord, we understand today, Lord, that you see our failures, our stumbles, our concerns, our faults, our times of disgruntlement. And Lord, we know that you understand, not that you agree, but you see where we're at. And I ask you, O God, today that you will see that we are but flesh and how much we need your mercy and we need your grace. Touch us this day. Lord, open up the windows of heaven. Let Pentecostal fall upon our hearts and challenge our hearts, Lord, that we might see you, Lord, in this last hour like we never have before. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. "And now also the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Title of my message today is this: Death of a Church. I didn't say death of the church, because he's got a remnant, and that church will go home. But there's many others and many other circumstances within the church that is dying because we have neglected the things of God. Knowing what we know today, and with all the signs of the coming that are all around about us, it should behoove you and I from the depths of our soul that as we live and as we breathe, that there should be a cry emerge from the rubble of humanity, crying in the church, saying that we must wake up from our sleep and our slumber, and we must allow the days of Pentecost to fill our hearts one more time. One more time. There has to be a cry emerge from the rubble of humanity and the church saying, "God, do it one more time." Though this is Memorial Day weekend, and while a lot of folks are decorating their loved ones' graves, others see it as nothing more than some well-deserved extended time off to go to the lake, come back looking like a well-baked lobster. Come on, somebody. I need to start over because some of you just woke up. While some are decorating their loved ones' graves, others seeing it no more than a well-deserved extended time off. As they go to the lake and come back like a well-baked lobster and then complain the next week to their coworkers about their stupidity. While it's time, this time, to honor our loved ones that have passed on, it's not a time to worship the dead. Because God said He is a God of the living, not a God of the dead. But a time of loving remembrance to our family, our friends, and all the brave men and women who fought and gave their lives to keep us free. We have so neglected that. Yet most folks are oblivious to the fact that while we are doing our own thing, we are passing by a dying entity that is literally gasping for breath, pale because of the lack of blood flow, and with a glassy stare, the frail figure of what used to be a vibrant force is now barely alive at all. I did not come to you today to bring you gloom and doom, but I come today, the power of the Holy Ghost, to bring you a challenge to let you realize and let you know that this thing that called a church, and God will have a remnant, but it is now barely alive at all, and it's gasping for breath. There needs to be a fresh and new anointing and a blood flow from the throne of God. That we are shaken and we are stirred and we are moved at the condition that we are now in. And can I tell you, church, the doctor that can cure all your ills is never consulted anymore. The altars of prayer no longer have tear stains anymore. Our time of devotion to God and listening to what He has to say is almost oblivious from our era of generation. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7 and through 9 says, "And you were running the race nobly. Who has interfered or who has hindered? Who has stopped you from your heeding and following the truth? This evil persuasion is not from Him who called you, who invited you into the freedom in Christ. A little leaven, a silent inclination to err, or a few false teachers leavens a whole lump. It perverts the whole concept of faith and misleads the whole church. It's time that we wake up. It's time that we are stirred, and not just stirred, but we are shaken to our very core, that we realize that this is the hour, this is the time, that we better make sure that our lamps are burning, that we have extra oil for the journey. It's time, church, that we do not sleep and slumber, but oh God, help us to wake up from the ash heap of humanity and realize there is a cause, and we have got to get the church vibrant one more time. We have allowed the number of obstacles and persuasions to interfere with our spiritual endeavors. Our compromising has left us in a daze, and we just justify our actions in a desperate search for just a smidgen of peace and happiness. Can I say that again? We have allowed a number of obstacles and persuasions to interfere with our spiritual endeavors. Our compromises has left us in a daze as we justify our actions in a desperate search for just a smidgen of peace and happiness. How many knows what a smidgen is? A lot of times that's all it takes is just a smidgen. But I want you to know today, I love a good sandwich, but I don't want just a smidgen of Miracle Whip. I want both sides covered completely. Can somebody understand what I'm talking about? I don't want just a smidgen. I want the power and the glory of God. I don't want to come to church just to barely feel good. But I want the power and the anointing of God and the convictions of the Holy Ghost to grip my heart. We don't want to talk about convictions anymore. We don't want to talk about those things that bring us closer to God. But I pray today, church, if I could say it one more time, let us stir ourselves to where we emerge from the rubble of humanity and the church becomes alive one more time. Amos tells us that in chapter 8, verse 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord." Oh, God, help us. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus was teaching what you and I know as the Beatitudes. He said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." The problem is no one's hungry or thirsty after the things of God. Hey, listen to me. I'm going somewhere. I'm here to challenge you today. We cannot stay in the situation and we cannot stay in the same condition we're in, lest we be found with no oil in our lamps. In this address that you and I, as I've already said, is known as Beatitude, Jesus tells those who are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, they will be blessed, which simply means if you hunger and thirst after the things of God, you will be happy and you will be satisfied. If you see somebody going around with a sour look on their face, grumbling all the time, complaining about everything, you know that they're not hungry and thirsty after the things of God. It's very obvious that today that the church as a whole are suffering from malnutrition. It's very obvious that today that the church as a whole are suffering from malnutrition, not because there isn't enough food, but because we are feeding the natural man with all the desires of the flesh, and the spiritual man is becoming and being neglected. Listen closely. In this day and culture we are living in, apart from any grace-driven effort, people in general, even in the church, are not gravitating toward godliness. We are not praying, and obedience to the scriptures are almost non-existent. While faith and delighting themselves in the Lord are out of sight and out of mind, we are drifting quickly in a fast-paced stream. We are drifting toward compromise, and in that we call it tolerance. We are drifting toward disobedience, and we call it freedom. Hear me, church. We are drifting toward superstition, and we call it faith. In a culture that has lost self-control, they call it relaxation. Because we refuse any kind of discipline, we slouch toward prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we have escaped legalism. And as we slide into a slippery slope toward godlessness, convincing ourselves we have been liberated. My Lord and my God, help us, oh God, to get a hold of the horns of the altar one more time, and help us in the midst of a dying church that there is a remnant, young and old alike, that they will rise from the ashes of the heap and become a vibrant source and resource in our world today. Our generation desperately needs a church that's on fire for God. You see, follow me closely. You see, spiritual hunger, it's not the message of Pentecost you was hoping for, is it? It's not the message of Memorial Day you was hoping for. But church, I'm here to declare to you, the church better get to a place that resurrection is on the horizon. You see, church, listen to me. If you don't get this, let me know. I got to get this over to you. Spiritual hunger works opposite of physical hunger. When we are physically hungry, we eat and are satisfied. Our appetite ceases until we get hungry again. Hello? You can only go so long without eating for the physical man, and you crave it with everything that's within you until you get that which satisfies the body. Hello? But when we are spiritually undernourished, and then we receive a feast of good spiritual food, it makes us even more hungry. So we learn about God's love when we get fed, when we feed ourselves. We come to church on Sunday or Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we get fed, and we're spiritually alive. But if we don't continue that through the week, we begin to get malnourished, and we are no longer a desire for that until we get it again. Physical hunger. We eat and we sit down underneath the tree and take a siesta. Hello? Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't time for a siesta. Some of you said like that, you didn't believe it anyway. When we are spiritually undernourished and then we receive a feast of good spiritual food, stay with me, it makes us more hungry than ever. So the more we learn about God's love, the more we experience His love, the more we want to know about His love, the more we desire about His love, and we can't get enough. But that's if you continue, that you continue to get spiritually fed. While and when we miss a meal and become physical hungry, our appetite overwhelms us until we get what we want. Listen. But on the spiritual side, is everybody listening? But on the spiritual side, if time passes and we receive no food, we lose our spiritual appetite. We no longer crave it. We can go longer from service to service without feeling that we have to get there to get something from God. We lose our appetite if the spiritual man is not fed on a daily basis. We no longer crave it in a time if that spiritual man isn't fed. Malnutrition sets in and we cease to even care if we hear it anymore, because we lose interest in the welfare of our soul. And that's exactly where we are in the church today. It's not that God does not have a remnant, and He always will have a remnant. The thing about it is, you need to be a part of that remnant. And to be malnutritioned spiritually, you're going to find yourself that your lamps are not burning bright, and your oil lamps or your oil is empty in your container. Anybody with me today? Anybody about ready to enter Pentecost? Dr. D.A. Carlson wrote this: the reality is that our hearts are drawn away from God and His Word. Human beings have a terrible habit of losing their appetite for God's truth. So therefore, church, I believe that the culture in which we live could easily be compared to the Laodicean age in John's Revelation chapter 7 to the seven churches of Asia. It's chapter 3, of the seven churches of Asia. being the last to be addressed, the last of the seven churches to be addressed. Brother Steve hit it last Sunday night, but I'm going to hit it again, okay? Because I already had it typed out, Brother Steve, so we got a duo here. And the angel spake to the church. John begins to write. Can you just imagine being there and the Spirit of God being on the Isle of Patmos as God began to speak to John, and he began to tell him of that Laodicean age in which we are. Listen, God's word is not out of date. It's not out of style. God's word has not been misprinted. You can read the newspaper today and it's out of date tomorrow, but God's word is relevant today. It's relevant tomorrow. It's relevant next week. And just as sure as John the Revelator was getting a message from the angel of God on the Isle of Patmos, somewhere down the eons of eternity, God was saying there's a church on Lincoln Street in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, that needs a message, that needs to be stirred, that needs to be shook up, that needs to be woke up. And out of the heap, there needs to be a revival moving to where God's people say, I'm not tolerating complacency no more, but I want God's power in my life. You can take this message, you can throw it over your shoulder, and you can move on and not feel like that anything has changed. Or you can take this message home with you or wherever you go, down to Walmart or in your bedroom, and you can apply it to the soul of your spirit and your life and your heart and say, God, don't let me be complacent anymore. God, don't let me be in that situation to where I just humdrum. But help me, oh God, to hunger and thirst after you. Lord, help me, oh God, that I do not become malnutritioned. But oh God, let your spirit move upon me like it's never moved before. Let the anointing of God saturate me. Let the power of Pentecost that fell in Jerusalem fall on us today. Oh God, let Trinity be the move. Let it be the start of revival in this hour that we live. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. As I read this passage of scriptures, Brother Steve read most of it Wednesday night. Listen carefully. Church, we cannot afford the generations that's coming up, the circumstances that befall us in our government, in our public schools. We cannot allow it to be tolerated. I'm here to tell you, if godliness would prevail and the Holy Ghost would prevail in this place, I want you to know that crime would stop in the streets. Lawlessness would stop in the halls of our schools. Our government would begin to be led by the things of God. When righteousness exalteth a nation, righteousness of God exalt the nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. But if we'll get the righteousness of God and the hunger of God in our hearts and our lives, we'll see a change, and people won't even know what hit them. I know thy works. Thou were neither hot or cold. Thou were either hot or cold. So then, because thou art lukewarm, look at your neighbor and say, lukewarm's nasty. Neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. What did I read as my text? That the axe is laid at the foot of the tree. If it's not bringing forth fruit, it is cut down and thrown into the fire. Because, why? Because thou sayest, I'm rich. If this isn't the attitude of the church today, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. Listen, God didn't give John the Revelator this just to have something to say there on the Isle of Patmos. He was by himself anyway. At that time, he had to write the letters and send them out to the churches. And they're applicable for us today. Can I get an amen? Because thou sayest, I am rich, and I am increased with goods. I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, I counsel you, I encourage you, I admonish you to buy me as gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and white remnant, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Can I tell you today, church, the world outside, when you go to the grocery store, you go to the Walmart store or Harps or wherever you buy groceries, or the clothing store, or you go down the malls, people can tell where you're at with God. People can tell you go to the restaurant and you gripe and complain about everything that the waitress brings to you or the waiter, and you really don't care. You're going to give them a piece of your mind when you know you don't have enough to spare. Hello? You'll get that tomorrow. People can tell where you're at. I want you to know that we used to sing a song all day long, I've been with Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful place. We haven't sung that in so long, and nobody's been singing it or practicing it anyway. But if we do, we'll have a different perspective on our waitresses and waiters. Whew. You missed a good opportunity to really nail that one down. You'll have a different perspective on those that are in the business place. You'll have a different perspective and a love for those that don't deserve it but need it the most. Huh? Come on, somebody. I'm preaching good right now. We got a long ways to go, and we've come a long way, and it ain't all been good, and it's time we turn around and go back. Huh? I counsel thee to buy me as gold in the fire. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I'm not rebuking you. I'm not chastening you today. I'm telling you the Word of God. I'm challenging you through the Word of God. Be zealous, therefore, and here's a word we don't like to use, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. You understand? He stands at the door and knock. He commands you to open it. Don't expect him to kick the door open. It's up to you. Man, I tell you what, I'm excited. I'm about ready to start all over again. To him that overcometh will I grant. Listen, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. If you ain't ever felt important, if you'll get hungry and thirsty for God and tell the world you're going to be an overcomer and you're going to live for God regardless of what this culture brings or regardless of what it looks like, that, hey, I'm going to be an overcomer and I'm going to sit with Jesus in His throne. Man, if that don't stir you up, it probably ain't nothing going to anyway. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and am set down at my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Hello? Hello? Do you hear me now? Do you hear me now? I don't know if you've caught a glimpse of where we are today in biblical prophecy. But if there's anything left to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church, I believe with everything that's within me, it could happen before you blink your eye. Did you hear me, church? I don't know if you caught a glimpse or if you've caught a glimpse of what's happening in our world today in biblical prophecy. But if there's anything left that needs to be done before the rapture of the church, I believe it could happen before you could blink your eye. Are you ready for this one? Are you ready for this one? Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. I got a headline that I wished I had in great big bold neon sign letters that tells me to tell you today, you got to listen. I don't think in a lot of instances it has not sunk in as of yet. You only have one shot at this. Hello? You only got it one shot at this. You don't have another bank to go to maybe get a loan from them. You only, are you hearing me, church? You only got one shot at this. You better make it good. You better make it happen. Hello, somebody. We've got to rise from the ash heap of humanity and where we are today and realize that the revival has to start with us. Has to start. I'm not banking on the church down the street. I want to see revival here where the power of God is moving and the cripple walk. No. I'm not just giving words. I'm looking forward to the cripple walking through those doors and walking out without their crutches. I'm looking forward to seeing those come through those doors, the drunkard and the harlot. I'm looking forward to them coming through those doors and kneeling at the altar and giving their heart and life to Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to those that have perverted their lifestyle and think there's something there ain't, and God bring them to an altar and turn them all the way around and give them an insight to give them joy and happiness and peace. God is the answer today. He is the physician that can cure all your ills. All your ills. You only have one shot. He said, I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. But I would that you was cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, thus saith God. I'm almost through all that's finishing. Now when I tell you that you only have one shot at this, I know that there's some of you that have been in sin, you've repented, come back to God, you went back out in the world. I'm not talking about that kind of one shot. I'm thinking and talking about when you take that final breath, you better make sure that you're sure. Hello? The description of the spiritual condition of the Laodicean church is one of a lukewarm church that has compromised with the world. Oh, I got all kinds of time. That has compromised with the world. I heard that. Somebody said, I heard that. The description of the spiritual condition of the Laodicean church is one of a lukewarm church that have compromised with the world, and it resembles its surrounding society and culture. It professes Christianity and yet has become wretched and miserable and undernourished. We go from week to week, and we barely have enough spiritual food to get us through the week, let alone feeding anybody else. We've come a long way, baby, and ain't all been good. It's time the church wakes up. It's time the church wakes up. I'm telling you, in all that we've experienced, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure about this. I paid a little bit of attention in my history class. I confessed a little bit. But wasn't it Japan, when they bombed Pearl Harbor, the guy said, I think we have awakened a sleeping giant. Hello? When are we, as God's child, going to be awakened and let hell have it. We have become so complacent and so malnutrition has set in that we are no longer a threat to hell or any of its imps. It's time that we become that sleeping giant that's awakened in our spiritual senses, and we allow the anointing of Almighty God to fill our hearts and our lives. We must hunger for the things of God. We cannot be content or contented with what the world has to offer. It is only temporary. What we are pushing and pressing for is eternal. We must profess Christianity, and we must let the world see it. One commentary says it would have been better for the world that they would have completely denied Christ than to just be lukewarm. And I believe that. Did you get that? One commentary said it would have been better for the Laodicean church and for the world for them to completely to have denied Christ than to be lukewarm. Think about that. Struggle with that. In its self-sufficient prosperity and worldliness, the Laodicean church has excluded the Lord Jesus Christ from their congregations. Yes, we have. Christ's invitation come from the outside the door to anyone who would receive His fellowship, repenting and overcoming a spiritual lukewarm church apathy. Christ continues His invitation to whosoever will, reaching out to those who will hear what He has to say to the church. With repentance and fellowship, His covenant will be renewed. Did you hear me? With repentance and fellowship, His covenant will be renewed. He will do it again. In the midst of this lukewarm church age, remember this, that Christ promised the overcoming church. It still remains valid. Did you hear me? Christian, Cammie, go ahead and come to the piano if you would, please. In the midst of a lukewarm church age, remember this, that Christ's promise to the overcoming church still remains valid. You ever received a check in the mail and it says only valid through 2 weeks? Hello? Only valid for 2 months? Well, He signed a check in His blood that is still good today. And the overcoming church, His promises are still valid. Christ will come to bless them with the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't kid yourself. You only have one shot at this. And I believe His Spirit is speaking loudly and boldly into the ears of each one of us here today. Matthew 25:10 said, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." Listen. You can't be half ready. If that was the case, the five foolish virgins, if they was half ready, they'd have been ready. But you can't be half ready. Lukewarm doesn't qualify. Nor thinking you have plenty of time gives you a guarantee of occupying heaven. Would you stand with me all over the building? Revelation 19:7 said, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready." Somebody say, the church. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." One more. John 14, begin at verse 1. "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go, somebody say, he's gone, to prepare a place for us, but he's coming back. Somebody say, he's coming back. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know, for Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everyone under the sound of my voice today, if you believe what I preached and you desire to have a fresh move of God in your heart, in your life, you desire for the rich red blood of Jesus Christ to permeate your spirit one more time and revival and the Holy Ghost begin to move in your heart and your life, I want you to slip out of your seat, make your way around this altar, feel around this altar in Jesus' name. You're hungry, you're thirsty. If you come up here and you can't stand, come up and sit on the altar, sit on the front seat. It's okay. You're simply making, well, I really do, Pastor. You're simply just making a statement. God, here I am. I'm hungry for you. I want more of you than I've ever experienced in my life. Can we just say a family prayer today as each one of us finds their place to pray? Even standing around the front, saying, God, here am I. Here am I. Change me. Change my way of thinking. Change my heart. Oh, God, change me and move me in your way and in your will. Father God, I love you. I worship you. Lord, I ask you right now that a move of your spirit will sweep this place.
You make you some.
Oh God, sweep this place.
The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved, just really there.
Oh God, stir our hearts, Jesus, Lord. Stir our hearts, Lord. We need you, Jesus.
Oh Jesus,
Lord, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Lord, we repent of our sins. Forgive us, oh God. Recognize our frailties, oh God. Recognize that we're the flesh, but we need your mercy and grace.
The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved, just really there. Jesus said,
oh yes, he does, church.
You talk of
Lord, we've failed you, we've sinned against you, God, but we come to you in repentance.
Talk of loving others, and we should. But to a dying world, the greatest thing that we can say is, take a look at Calvary, Jesus saved.
Oh, yes, yes, church.
Jesus saved.